Welcome back. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show here on WPHM, and we get our weekly visit now from a very busy Matt Shook. And Matt, the Pistons opened the season last night without Blake Griffin. He's out at least for the first five games, or the month of October, I suppose. But at least last night, his presence wasn't missed because a couple of people stepped up. Andre Drummond, 32 points, 23 rebounds. Luke Kennard, 30 points, 16 of those in the fourth quarter. That was a career high for him. By the way, Derrick Rose in his Piston debut, 18 points, 9 assists. If those three guys can play like that, who needs Blake Griffin, right?
Yeah, I mean, those are the three guys that are, like I talked on the podcast today, it's probably the second, third, and fourth best players on the Pistons behind Blake Griffin. And like you said, if they play like that, they can, you know, they're a real team, even without Blake Griffin. Obviously, it's an 82-game season. We don't expect any of those guys to have, those types of games 80% of the time. So we'll see, you know, as we go on and how comfortable those guys are all together. But, yeah, Derrick Rose looks like he's in good health. Luke Kennard looks like he's being assertive like everyone's kind of wanted him to be the last couple of years. But probably Drummond, the biggest revelation as far as things that you hope to continue. And I talked about this in the preseason. You know, while he was still throwing up some jump shots and three-pointers in the preseason, I thought I noticed a lot more positives than negatives from him, just in the way that he conditioned. He looks like he's in great shape, and B, just very active. And obviously in sports, we know anytime that someone's in a contract year, it's a good thing to have on your team. You got a very motivated player. He's talked a lot about trying to be an all-star year in and year out. But the conundrum with Andre is that you want him to be as motivated as possible, but you also want him focusing on the things that he's good at, which is kind of being, in a weird way, a complimentary player. Last night, he showed the ability to face up and drive around people and finish at the rim. It's something that he's not really shown throughout his career, and maybe it's going to be a game-to-game kind of thing as far as how he's finishing. But really encouraging signs from Drummond. It's one game, and we'll see how it shakes out. But, if they can weather the storm without Blake for, like you said, 5 to maybe even 10 games early in the season, then they'll be in pretty good shape when he comes back.
They will need more from Reggie Jackson, though. I thought that was the down point in the game last night. Everything was pretty positive with the Pistons last night, but Reggie's got to be better.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a back issue there. He's got the brace on at the end of games. He only played 20 minutes last night. It's something that kept him out of a preseason game, and he just doesn't look right now. Another guy is in a contract year, unfortunately, for him, if this is going to be kind of a longer-term situation for him. He's still listed on the injury report for tonight's game against Atlanta as probable, which kind of surprised me. I thought he'd be maybe questionable or doubtful, or maybe they'd sit him here on the second half of the back-to-back. But like you said, he just doesn't appear right now, which is unfortunate because this was kind of the one-off season where the narrative going into training camp was that he was healthy and he was going to have his first healthy start to the season, and this is the one where he looks, quite as bad as he's looked, even when he was injured, known from surgeries and whatever else he had done in the offseason. So, yeah, it's disappointing. But the good news is for Pistons fans is, like we talked about, Derrick Rose, although they're going to be watching his minutes throughout the entire season, has looked good in terms of being his backup, and that Tim Frazier, although he didn't get more, he's played 1 minute last night, he's a guy that you feel better about as a third point guard, much more so than Jose Calderon. And then Bruce Brown could be a possible ball handler as a point guard for you guys going forward as well. So there are other options, but yeah, for this team to reach their plateau, they need an $18 million Reggie Jackson to be more than just a negative out there.
Yeah. A lot of positives though last night, a really strong fourth quarter, which is usually the opposite for the Pistons. They'll play well for three and then fold up in the fourth. It was the opposite last night. They were terrific in the fourth. And I thought just about everybody who got in and played significant minutes last night gave some sort of contribution. If you look at the numbers with Markieff Morris and Snell and Brown and Maker and all these guys, they were all somewhere around 4 to 8 points last night. I think Snell even got 10 points. And they all made shots during the game when the Pistons needed shots made. So I just thought it was a pretty solid effort in game one.
Yeah, and I think going into game two against Atlanta, you got a team that's bad defensively, but it's going to be pretty good offensively. Maybe not every night because they're so young that guys might shoot and struggle to score at times. But this is their first game of the season, the Atlanta Hawks in town. So they'll probably have some pregame, you know, some early game jitters like we saw from the Pistons and Pacers last night. So you weigh that with the older team again in the second half of a back-to-back. Who's at more of an advantage there? I called it kind of a wash, in my opinion. But, yeah, I think most importantly for the Pistons tonight, and this sounds ridiculous because you can say this every night, but they need to knock down shots tonight because they're going to need to outscore Atlanta. I mean, it's one thing for Atlanta to have a bad defense, but he's still going to need to get the ball into the basket. So, you know, they only shot 24 three-pointers last night, which is a little bit of a surprise given that they were a 35-per-game shooting team last year, and the good percentage, too. So, you know, you're going to see Luke Kennard hoist a bunch of threes again tonight. Maybe Langston Galloway gets into some more. And maybe the Markieff Morris is the world and someone else on Maker. It'd be nice if he could knock down some more shots. So I think they got to keep up with Atlanta on the scoreboard, and we'll see if they can do that.
All right. Let's shift to the Lions now. Our 2-3-1 Detroit Lions after the loss to the Vikings. A lot of injuries. And they made a couple of big splashes on Tuesday with the Kerryon Johnson injury and also the trade of Quandre Diggs. Where do you want to begin?
Man, it what a surprise, right? Thought kind of a Tuesday afternoon conference call going to be kind of a normal day. But, yeah, they reveal the extent of the Kerryon Johnson injury, which is he's out until the second-to-last game at the earliest. You know, when you hear those kind of things, that you kind of almost figure that he might be out for the season. So we'll see how that all plays out. And then, like you said, Quandre Diggs, that news coming down, a popular player in the locker room, a popular player amongst the fan base, and a guy that they just extended before last season. So if you're asking me what the direction of this franchise is, man, you got the wrong guy on the line. I mean, the three straight losses, it's a lot like last year, right, where Golden Tate was dealt a week before the trade deadline. Now, in that situation, they went ahead and made a nice trade for Snacks Harrison, who was a really good contributor at the end of last year, not so much so far this year. But will another move like that be coming before Tuesday's trade deadline? My inclination is that, yes, I think that they will make a move. I don't know if that means that they're going to try to replace him with another safety. I know they signed one today. But that running back group that I'm looking at with Ty Johnson, I wrote about it in today's Detroit News, and it's also online. Ty Johnson, Paul Perkins, J.D. McKissick, Trey Carson, and then you got the guy in the practice squad, Wes Hills, as well. There's just not enough there to maintain some kind of strong second half of the season. So I would anticipate, and I know a lot of fans want Melvin Gordon, and Kenyon Drake's another guy from Miami who's out there, but I would anticipate that they will bring in some kind of running back who has had some kind of success in the NFL in the past, because these guys are a motley crew to say the most. And this is a team that wants to run the ball, has not run the ball, and we see how much that has hurt their overall game plans and game success with that lack of running. If they're going to want to have any kind of salvation of this season, they're going to have to find some help at running back and get that running game going.
It would seem like Melvin Gordon could be had, Matt, and probably not for much.
Yeah, you're right, and you know that holdout from the summer probably hurt his standing in the organization, and not only that, most importantly is that Austin Ekeler has shown that he's a very good player for the Chargers and is probably the starter going forward there, and Melvin Gordon's still a young guy. He hasn't looked good so far, but, you know, the narrative is that he's playing his way into shape in some regards, and the Chargers are another team that's having a disappointing season as well, so there's someone who probably wouldn't mind taking a half step back to maybe go a step or two forward in the future in terms of gaining some draft capital. So it makes a lot of sense on the outside here as far as what trading partners and what teams could possibly benefit from a partnership. That said, you know, we saw Mohamed Sanu go for a second round pick with the Patriots this week, and that's a guy who's not very well regarded these last few years. So the asking price is pretty high. We know that Bob Quinn values those draft picks quite a bit. And so it's going to be kind of a thing that probably goes down to Tuesday, and those kind of moves will probably be last minute, and we'll see like what kind of teams are willing to budge and pull the trigger on moves like that. And it might have a lot to do with how the Lions do on Sunday, right? If they somehow lose to the Giants, which is certainly possible, the Lions aren't world beaters for sure, So if they lose that game, I certainly don't see them wasting draft capital to make any kind of move at 2-4-1.
No, and that's the interesting thing, because they should beat the Giants, regardless of injuries or what else is going on. A home game against the Giants should be a win for this Lions team.
Yeah, if a rookie quarterback and a team that really can't stop the run, like you said, they should get it done.
And if they can get that win, then, you know, because they're the Lions, they put us on the upswing of the roller coaster again, because you look at the schedule and you want to believe in the next 6 to 10 games that there are more wins than losses based on who their opponents are. But they're the Lions, so at what point are we going to go back downhill? And it could start as early as this week if they didn't beat the Giants. And if they didn't beat the Giants, who's the pressure on? Quinn? Patricia? Either? Neither?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like you said, first of all, I will agree that I think that Lions fans have at least one more stomach punch left this season. You know, I think that they're going to get, probably, like you said, you get the Giants, the Raiders, and then the Bears. You know, and who knows what the Bears will look like in 2 weeks. They seem to be such an up-and-down team, and maybe Trubisky turns it around a little bit here going forward. But, yeah, I would suspect that they get up to 500, maybe even a little ahead of 500, and get a little momentum going, and then they'll probably, kick you in the whatevers again going forward if you're a fan. But as far as the pressure on Coach and Quinn, yeah, I mean, it's tough to say from the outside. Obviously, if this thing unravels completely, you lose to the Giants, you know you're looking at a 5-10-1 season or something like that, you're probably talking about Patricia on the hot seat. But to me it's still a long shot. I still believe that Matt Patricia is going to be back for a third year, kind of regardless of what happens this year. Like I said, I'm short of the bottom completely falling out here in these next couple months, I think he comes back. And I think Quinn and Patricia are pretty much a package deal at this point. Whenever the organization does move on from them, I think that it's probably going to be together and that you kind of do a new regime. But, you know, there's still reasons to be optimistic that maybe this thing gets turned around. And moves like the Quandre Diggs trade, by the way, are things that we always talk about this in sports, right? On one hand, you want to have the organization's best interest as you do your job as a general manager. But we know that as human beings that these are good jobs that pay these guys a lot of money. So a lot of times they're not doing what's best for the Lions. They're in some cases doing what's best for Bob Quinn, in that if you trade Quandre Diggs and you pick up some draft capital going forward, that allows you to say to the fan base and maybe to ownership and Rod Wood and whoever else the decision makers are, to say, hey, you know, we've got a good future coming here. So give me another year, give me another couple years so we can turn the ship around. Now, we'll see how that works out. Obviously, Bob Quinn has had a couple of nice draft picks, but he's had a lot of draft misses as well. So there's not a whole lot of confidence to be had with how that's all going to turn out. But, yeah, I mean, maybe call me a pessimist, but I feel like moves like Quandre Diggs and the way that it's being communicated that why that went down and how that all went down is kind of a reason for me to be on the side of, I think that they're just kind of in job preservation mode to a large extent, and that I think it'll work and probably buy them at least one more year.
All right. Michigan State's coming off a bye week. They get another one after the Penn State game this week. How much are they going to need that second bye week?
Yeah, I think with Michigan and Michigan State, you know, both teams have kind of entered a new portion of the season, right? Especially with Michigan losing that game to Penn State, where they're, you know, basically out of any kind of pie in the sky hopes of a Big Ten championship finals berth. And we know that Michigan State already has 4 losses right now too. So these are two teams that are picking up the pieces, and then you got tough opponents coming into town this weekend for both of them too. So really it's such a bummer, because we're here before Halloween talking about kind of closing up shop on these seasons right now, and what kind of mid to low range bowl games are we looking at for these teams, and a couple of coaches that are basically at crossroads right now. But yeah, Michigan State, Penn State coming to town. And then, you know, the good news for Michigan State is that Michigan was able to make Penn State look a little human at times. I mean, this isn't a Penn State team that's been gangbusters this year. They haven't really beaten a lot of good teams this year, Michigan probably being their most quality win, and we know the issues that Michigan has right now. So I wouldn't write Michigan State off. I mean, this is a tough team, tough-minded. Obviously, the offense is still a problem, but I would think that this game on Saturday night or Saturday might be a little bit closer than some folks think, and I think the Spartans have a chance because I don't really buy Penn State as much as maybe the pollsters do right now.
Is Michigan's record the reason why this year's game with Notre Dame doesn't seem to be getting the hype it usually would?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, Notre Dame's already has the loss to Georgia, and they haven't really looked good these last couple weeks either. So, yeah, I mean, I think that there's just other situations that are more pressing right now in the world of sports and especially football as well. So, you know, Notre Dame, it's Notre Dame and Michigan. So obviously these are two hugely high profile teams, but really when you think about it, the focus of the football world in the Midwest, it's around Ohio State, and in the rest of the football world at large, it's the Clemsons and then the SEC teams. So what does it matter to someone in Florida who wins this Michigan or Notre Dame game this weekend, because neither of those teams are probably going to figure into the national championship picture. So, yeah, while there's a network of Michigan fans around the country and world, and same thing with Notre Dame, obviously, it matters to those two fan bases. But from the outside, it's kind of two overrated programs that the world has kind of passed them by. And until proven otherwise, that's kind of especially where Jim Harbaugh is, and Brian Kelly to a lesser extent too. So, you know, it's not something that is super exciting. I mean, the advantage of that matchup being in the first couple weeks of the season, like it usually is that they're undefeated teams that have national championship aspirations, whether that be true or not in a reality sense. They've both kind of proven that they're second, maybe third tier programs right now, and it's not the marquee matchup that it once was.
All right, tell them about the podcast.
Yeah, we're rolling good on Locked On Pistons. We're looking at our best month ever here in October, so keep it coming. Locked On Pistons is what it's called. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play, Himalaya, Amazon Alexa, wherever you get podcasts. We're talking every day about the Pistons, short podcast, so you can listen to it and get back to your drive and enjoy high school football this weekend and whatever else is going on in the Blue Water area, because it's a nice fall, a great time to be in Michigan, and I'm glad to be back. It's been a year and a half for me, and it's nice to be here back in the Great Lakes State.
Well, enjoy the game tonight, because I think maybe the Pistons will be off to a 2-0 start.
Yeah, it'd be nice. And then a couple games this weekend. Philly, obviously one of the Eastern Conference favorites on Saturday night, should be a fun one as well. And a bunch of football, and we'll see how it all shakes out, and we'll talk to you about it next week.
All right, perfect. See you then, Matt.
Thanks, Dennis.
All right, we'll take a break, and we'll be back with more in just a moment here on the Dennis Stuckey Show.